Tom L. Bondvie here with this important message from the Word of God. You know, there are only two places, there's no in between, there are only two places you can go when you leave this earth. When your time on this earth is finished. Now, I know you're going to say, well, yeah, you can go to the grave. And that's the end of that. Well, it's not. I'm talking about up and down. You either go up or you go down. You either go up to be with Jesus Christ, with Almighty God and His kingdom, or you go down, down into the pit, way down, to be with the devil and his demons. Now, those are the two places, okay? So what is it with you? Heaven or hell? That's the title of my message, Heaven or Hell. Now, before I was saved many years ago, I was the youngest of three brothers and a son to a father who had been through two major wars. My father, well, he had seen it all, I guess you could say, and he didn't like what he saw, especially what the enemy did to the little children. What the enemy did to the little children. For this very reason, he made his boys, us children, understand the true meaning of a phrase, war is hell. And usually it was the little children who suffered the most. Us boys, well, we didn't see much of our dad during the war years, so we never really got to know him until we were old enough to form our own opinions about life. You know, the qualifications of a father there would be to, you know, to rear up your children in the way they should go. And we just didn't have that rearing up, so we had our own personal thoughts of what life should be like and how we should be treated, and so forth and so on. Now, neither dad nor mom were what you'd call real Christians. Now, is there such a thing as a non-real Christian? No, there isn't. In other words, just let me put it to you point blank, as far as I know, neither one of them were a real Christian. They thought they were, but they weren't. They didn't go to church, as far as I know. They never, ever darkened the doorway of a church. And they would never open a Bible in a home. They wouldn't talk about the things of the Lord. Okay, I guess that's about all I can say and all I want to say about my own mom and dad. They said they believed in God, but they never prayed with us. They never took us to church. I don't remember grace ever being said over the supper table. But two things I remember most about my dad. When he corrected us boys, he never had to do it twice for the same thing. Never. And if one of us ever came home crying that we got beat up at school, well, Dad would take us out to the back shed and give us another whooping just for being weak and losing the battle. That's the kind of man my dad was. It took me a while to understand why. It was a hard world, you know, still reeling from the wars as he was, and he wanted to make sure we were tough enough to take what was coming in life. I don't blame him for that. I thank him for it. Dad wanted to be proud of his sons. You know, there were the three of us. I was the youngest of the three. Our parents never instructed us three boys in the things of the Lord. Not at all. I spent most of my early years, well, virtually imprisoned in Catholicism. And I was taught that I'd surely go to hell, except I believed in their religion. Surely go to hell unless I believed in Catholicism. Well, it wasn't that hard to do. I didn't have to be all that good. All I had to do was go to confession once a week and get the priest all excited about my evil little kid thoughts and the bad language he'd forgive me. Oh, it was easy. My world was really messed up, though. Really messed up. That is until I met Jesus. I met Jesus at the crossroads. As I recall, at the crossroads there were two signs. And one said, the works way, and the other sign read, the faith way. You know, in Ephesians 3:8-9, or 2:8-9, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Remember the thief on the cross? He had no chance to clean up his life. He was right next to Jesus. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's in Luke 23:42, if you want to look it up. And what did Jesus say to him? Did he say, ha, too late, you slacker? No. No, he said, now get this, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Wow. Talk about forgiveness. The point is, you don't go to a Catholic priest. You don't mow the neighbor's lawn. You don't go home and take a bath. You come to Christ just as you are. Just as you are. You've heard the song, one of the most popular hymns there ever was, just as I am without one plea. Okay, I don't do it justice. Okay? Jesus told the rich man, he told the rich man, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor. Then take up your cross and follow me. Oh, the rich man didn't want to give everything he had away. Isn't it a lot like that today? I mean, oh yes, rich people will give away of their excess. But if it's going to make them look poor like the poor are, that's where most of them draw the line. The Pharisees in Luke 18:14, who prayed in a loud and self-righteous spirit, left the house of God unjustified and unaccepted. They were Pharisees. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up his cross and follow me. His burden. That's what he means. To follow Christ, a person has to deny himself. You can't just say, oh yeah, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe he died for my sins. And then go out the door and keep on living your same old life. No, you got to deny yourself. You got to have a change in your lifestyle. You have to show repentance. And if you're not sure whether you're saved or not, even you who think you are right now, then you better examine yourselves to see if you really are in the faith. Have all things passed away? Have old things become new? Are all things become new? Examine yourself, see if you really are in the faith. When the tax collector in Luke 18 beat upon his breast and cried out for God's mercy, admitting his sinful estate, we're told that he went down to his house justified. See, that was repentance, that was true sorrow. He went back to his home justified. This man made it clear that he truly was a sinner and in need of mercy and forgiveness. Because he acknowledged his sinful ways, then God forgave him. Even before he changed his way of life, his sins were wiped clean, washed in the blood of Christ. You see, when you come to Christ and you believe in what he did, and you repent, you know, it immediately that you do this, you're accepted into the glory of God, you know, you belong to him. But you know, your vile flesh, that's where the struggle is, because the old flesh has a way of not giving up sin that easy. So you're going to struggle with the flesh until the day that the Lord Jesus returns for the church in the rapture. And that's when your vile body, the flesh, will be changed. It'll be changed just like unto his glorious body. So that the flesh and the soul will be purified. And there'll be no more sin attached to you. The thief who came to Christ, remember that? The thief who came to Christ while dying on a cross next to Jesus? He was forgiven even though he never had a chance to do any good works. He never had a chance to show he was sincere. This should be firm enough, proof positive, that good works is not a prerequisite for salvation. You don't go out and do a good deed and think you're going to heaven because you did it. I remember when I was a kid, I carried a big box of groceries through a blizzard out the railroad tracks for miles to deliver to my poor relatives. I figured, hey, that's good. God loves that. I'm blessed. I'm probably going to heaven. No. As Ephesians 2:8-9 says, not by works, lest any man should boast. However, now there's a big however shoved in here. However, good works, as I just described, will follow, showing you really are in Christ. In other words, you'll have a desire to do the things that Christ wants you to do. You'll have a desire to do all these good works, a desire to follow him and to show Christ in you. The ungodly are justified by faith, according to Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him who justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him who justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Romans 4:5. The Pharisees in Luke 18 went away unjustified, simply because they did not come to God with repentance and faith. They thought their good works would save them. To whom much is given, much is expected. Okay? Now, although salvation is by faith, through faith alone, God expects discipleship and unity among his people, accompanied by prayer. If we come to Christ just as we are, he takes us in, but he also expects us to live accordingly as that which becometh a saint of God. If your attitude and behavior do not change, then it's best you examine yourselves, as I mentioned, according to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, to see if you really are in the faith and not just some phony believer. If we recognize our sins are making us deserving of hell, if we recognize that, if we seek deliverance from the power and the penalty of sin, and if we truly believe that Jesus paid the price for our sins, then we can be assured of our salvation. Good works have nothing to do with salvation. But on the other hand, works should follow salvation. In closing, I ask that you remember this. A truckload of food given from the unsaved to starving children cannot hold a candle to a handful of food given by a child of the King. I thank you for listening. May God bless you. Amen.